Go ahead and call the meeting to order. Welcome to everyone to this meeting, the DCJS, December 10, 2020 meeting. Before we start, I'd like to recognize the loss of one of our members, Ms. Francine Horn, served on the board from 2017 to 2020 as a crime victims advocate. And Ms. Horn passed away last month, I think, in Richmond. So certainly appreciate her contributions to DCJS, and she will be missed. So if you're thinking about her today or so inclined to say a prayer for her family or whatever, then we'll do that on our own. So Ms. Hyman, would you take the roll?
Chief Williams.
Present.
Ms. Biggs. Chief Branch.
Here.
Ms. Carrera.
Here.
Ms. Chapman.
Present.
Chair Crawford.
I'm here.
Judge Denneke. I see you. Mayor Dole.
Here. There we go.
I'm here.
Officer Evans.
Here.
Mr. Hu-Young. Mr. Johnson.
Here.
Mr. Katyal.
Present.
Mr. Macon.
I'm here.
Judge Malvo. Mr. Miles.
Here.
Ms. Peterson.
Here.
Mr. Porter.
Here.
Sheriff Roper.
I'm here.
Colonel Settle.
Here.
Ms. Smith.
Here.
Superintendent Smith.
Here.
Mr. Taylor.
Here.
Mr. Walters.
Lisa Hernandez for Joe Walters.
Chief Wright.
Here.
Senator Morrissey.
This is Matt Wheeler in Senator Morrissey's stead.
Okay. Senator McClellan. Delegate Delaney.
Here.
And Delegate Jones.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, great. Thank everybody and all the members and the proxies for attending the meeting today. Everybody should have received the meeting minutes from the October 15, 2020 CGSB meeting. Are there any corrections, deletions, or additions to the minutes? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve?
Dave Johnson, move to approve the minutes.
Eddie Macon, second.
All right, the motion has been properly made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Motion carries and minutes are approved. Move on to the director's report. Director Shannon Dion, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Chief Williams. It's nice to see everyone. I hope you are doing well and that you had a nice Thanksgiving holiday. I would like to welcome Scott Miles to the board and congratulate you on your appointment as Deputy Attorney General for Mark Herring. It's I'm very glad to be working with you again, and I'm excited that you're joining his team.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
So my report this month is pretty short, given that this is December at the end of 2020. I can tell you that folks at DCJS, we're very much looking forward to the new year for both personal and professional reasons. We do have a lot of exciting projects coming up for the new year. One project that I've mentioned before is the transition to our new grants management system, and that's going to take place in February. Our current grants management system is more than 20 years old, and it's comprised of 8 different software systems, and these separate systems cause inconsistencies and require a lot of manual input. And our amazing grants and IT teams have been working with VITA to find a solution that will be a fully functional online system. And this includes online application submissions, electronic awards processes, and post-award monitoring and reporting activities. And so once completed and installed, it's going to be a full-service grant system, and it's going to cover the grant process from A to Z. And what we're really excited about is it's going to allow our staff to monitor the process and reports and financial reports in real time. And hundreds and hundreds of hours have been devoted by the DCJS team for this new project. And in fact, it's pretty significant for the state because VITA recognized that there are other state agencies that also issue grants. And so they have worked with us closely to make this what they call an enterprise solution. So once we get it up and running for DCJS, they're gonna be able to apply the same technology in other state agencies and hopefully build in some efficiencies throughout the state. So we are very excited to be in the home stretch of this major technology update. And so hopefully in the March meeting, I'll have some good news to report on that. Switching gears to other parts of the agency, we are focused on implementing many of the new mandates that we received from the 2020 special session of the General Assembly that concluded this fall. And we're also simultaneously gearing up for the 2021 regular session. And at the last meeting, you heard Dave Cotter share with you many of the new public safety laws that were enacted this past fall. And so for the ones that really impact DCJS and you as the board, we'll be taking a deeper dive with you about those new responsibilities at our March meeting. So I want to just tell you that as I kind of look back at this time last year, I was reviewing my notes from what I shared with you at the December 2019 meeting, and it was kind of wild.
Teacher, I just sent you the link.
It was kind of wild to see sort of our expectations going into 2020. We were focused very much on investing in our people with management and leadership training, as well as professional development training that included a lot of work around implicit bias, as well as moving into 2020, having real honest conversations about race and racism and how it affects us as individuals, as an organization, and especially our role in the criminal justice system. We also had a really ambitious plan of updating our strategic plan, and then COVID-19 came. So I can tell you that even though our original plan didn't unfold the way we expected because of the pandemic, we were still able to accomplish many of these goals, as well as some new ones that were brought about by the pandemic. And I think, honestly, one of the greatest accomplishments that our agency should be proud of is our response to the pandemic. I have observed from day one that the people who make up DCJS, they are resilient. They have a strength of heart that I never could have ever before anticipated seeing and witnessing firsthand. And in fact, one division that I want to highlight to you is our licensing and regulatory services division. They regulate our private security industry, as well as tow truck drivers, locksmiths, and special conservators of the peace, bail bondsmen, and bail enforcement agents. And this past fall, they were actually nominated for a special award by the International Association of Security and Investigative Regulators. And that's called IASR. And IASR is one of the largest associations of state regulatory agencies for private security and private investigative services and alarm companies. And the division was highlighted for its exemplary customer service, both before and during the pandemic. And a member of the Brink Security Company nominated the entire division because they just really stepped up and just provided wonderful, wonderful customer service in a very chaotic and uncertain time to many of our stakeholders. And I can tell you that not a week goes by that we don't receive feedback from actual customers who specifically call or write or email us and tell us, hey, I work with so-and-so in the division, and they just really were amazing to work with and just took their time and helped me out with this issue. And that makes me so proud. And I'm just, every single person in that division is committed to getting the work done. In fact, our entire agency is made up of people like that. We have constantly been problem solving, adapting, and making things work for all of our constituents. I will tell you that also our family, our DCJS family, has expanded this year. And so a couple weeks ago, we officially hired a new director of our Division of Law Enforcement. And I can tell you that I know I was looking for a very special person for this role, because this role is going to be overseeing the implementation of the new law enforcement training standards, the new expanded decertification qualifiers and process. This person is going to be overseeing the development of a new code of conduct for law enforcement, as well as a new statewide curriculum for all law enforcement officers to be trained from, and is also going to be overseeing the law enforcement component of the new Marcus Alert laws that went into effect. And I'm thrilled to tell you that we found the right person in Harvey Powers. And Harvey has joined us today, and I'm going to put you on the spot, Harvey, and see if you don't mind introducing yourself to the board and saying a little bit about your background.
Sure. For those of you that I haven't met yet, I will apologize because some of you have heard me do my introduction a couple of times, and so you could probably do it for me better than I can do it for myself at this point. I am a longtime Virginia resident, grew up along the Virginia-North Carolina border, and went to James Madison University, where I graduated. After graduating at JMU, I became a Richmond police officer and rose through the ranks, doing 25 years in the city of Richmond Police Department, where I retired at the rank of captain 3 years ago. My last assignment was running the Police Training Academy. For the last 5 years, I was on the job in the city of Richmond. For the past 3 years, I've been working in the private sector doing police training across the country for a private company, where I've spent the bulk of my time teaching at the NYPD Police Academy, working with the men and women of the NYPD. Everybody's got challenges no matter where you go, but the NYPD has a very unique set of every kind of challenge you can possibly imagine. I am very excited to be part of the DCJS family. I have been welcomed with a lot of information. There's a lot of work to do. I hope to be a voice for hard work and realism as we go forward and try to implement some of the changes that we see coming. I look forward to working with any of you and all of you, and if there's ever anything I can do to help you out, please feel free to reach out. I remember coming to work in law enforcement when we had electric typewriters. And so this whole Zoom thing is kind of new to me, but I'm going to work with it and we're going to make it happen. So I look forward to working with you in the future. And if I can ever be of any assistance, please let me know. It's good to see you all.
Thank you, Harvey. He's being a little modest. So the company that he worked for 3 years is called the Fair and Impartial Policing Company. And so they do training specifically for law enforcement in terms of learning more about implicit biases and how to recognize them, overcome them. And he also serves on the Chesterfield Community Services Board. So he is very knowledgeable in crisis intervention training, the impact of implicit biases on officers. And he also, when he retired as a captain from Richmond Police Department, did so after 5 years of overseeing their police academy. And so he was responsible for the training of all of those officers. So thank you, Harvey, for joining us today. And thank you, members of the board. I am so grateful for your time and attention and your continued support of DCJS and the work that we do. And I look forward to an even better 2021. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Chief Williams.
Great. Are there any questions or comments for Director Dion? All right. Harvey, I'm going back even further. When I started, we were using a manual typewriter. So you obviously younger than me, so got an electric typewriter. Good for you. We will move on to committee reports. The Committee on Training, Chief Calvin Wright.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the board. Our first item, the Committee on Training met this morning at 10 a.m. First item that's for your consideration is recertification as a certified crime prevention community, Fairfax County. Mr. Derek Mays, DCJS accreditation manager, provided the committee a review of application of certified crime prevention community recertification for Fairfax County. Fairfax County met or exceeded all of the required elements to meet the standards for recertification, and it is recommended Fairfax County be recertified as a certified crime prevention community. I make a motion to approve the recertification of Fairfax County as a certified crime prevention community.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Jeff Crawford will second.
All right. Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Are there any opposed? All right, motion carries. Congratulations to Fairfax County.
Our next item was Law Enforcement Curriculum Review Committee and the Department of Corrections Curriculum Review Committee. The COT received an update on the progress of the Law Enforcement Curriculum Review Committee, as well as the Department of Corrections Curriculum Review Committee. The CGSB will be provided a more detailed report shortly. Mr. Eric Smith, Manager for Standards and Policy in the Law Enforcement Division of DCJS, also provided a division update regarding the Law Enforcement Division at DCJS. Mr. Smith also introduced to us Mr. Harvey Powers, who is the new Law Enforcement Division Director. Mr. Powers provided some details of his background and experience. Mr. Chair, this concludes the report of the COT.
Great, thank you. Nominations Committee, Edward Macon.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. We had a good meeting this morning of the Nominations Committee. We had present were myself, Sheriff Crawford, Ms. Coleman, and Mr. Kotchall. And I want to especially thank the DCJS staff, Leon Baker, Brenda Cardoza, Melissa O'Neill, who we could not get along without. They did a fabulous job of preparing the materials. There is, as you can see from the agenda, there's one item that comes before you, and that's there were nominations for three openings on the advisory committee. It's the Court Appointed Special Advocates Children's Justice Act Advisory Committee. And there are currently three openings, and the just to quickly mention the nominees that we recommend, and this will be, we'll make this a motion once I go through these names, a motion for the board to approve these three nominees. The first one is Regina Baker. She's a Richmond attorney who would fill the slot on the advisory committee for defense attorney and parent representative. And she's got lots of good relative experience as an attorney in juvenile court and doing defense work related to children and parents. The next nominee is Kimberly Christiana Scott-Babargi. And she would fill the parent representative slot. She's a consultant and formerly a Department of Social Services training specialist, also has a lot of unique experience related to the work of the advisory committee. And then the third slot and the third nominee that we recommend is Officer Randy Bonds, who's with the Christiansburg Police Department. He would fill the law enforcement slot on the advisory committee. And he again has a unique background in crimes against children and has lots of experience in working with juvenile criminal justice issues. We recommend all three of these nominees for a four-year term, which would begin July 1, 2020 and run through July 1, 2024. So with that, I move that the board approve Regina Baker, Kimberly Scott-Babargi, and Officer Randy Bonds for these three vacancies. Thank you.
Thanks. Do we have a second?
A second, Dave Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? Are there any opposed? I'm sorry. All right. Great, thank you. So anything else, Mr. Macon?
Mr. Chairman, no, that concludes the business that we took up this morning for the Nominations Committee. Thank you.
Okay, great. So we'll move to the Advisory Committee on Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention. David Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have one project to talk about. The Advisory Committee on Juvenile Justice and Prevention has formally approved $84,000 in federal JJDP Title II funds for participation in the Department of Education project titled Stopping the Pushout of Black Girl. It's an interesting project. It intends to pull black girls back into the school community. Virginia data shows that while black girls make up about 25% of the female student population, they accounted for 57% of the referrals to law enforcement from 2016 to 2018, reducing Black girls' overrepresentation in reports to law enforcement, and the disparity in staff responses to Black girls' behavior is the focus of the program. The funds will be used to help pilot the initiative in 3 selected school districts in the coming year. And that concludes my report from the Advisory Committee on Juvenile Justice and Prevention.
Sorry, I muted myself. So that's a motion.
I would ask Shannon that if we need to, or is it's just advising the committee. I think in an abundance of caution, I'd ask for a motion just to approve the actions of the advisory committee with respect to this grant.
Yeah, I think we need an emotion because we're talking about funds to be expended. So with that motion, do I have a second?
Chief Branch, second.
Paul Taylor.
Any more discussion on this? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any recusals or? Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for your report.
Thank you.
Next, Tom Fitzpatrick will present VSTOP grant for the Underserved Populations Learning Collaborative. Tom?
Good morning. I'm the Division Director for Programs and Services. It's a little unusual. We have a grant coming directly to this committee without going to the Grants Committee, but because we only had one grant that would have been eligible and it's in its 4th year, we thought we would just bring this directly here rather than convening the Grants Committee. The Underserved Populations Learning Collaborative is a joint project between the Department of Social Services and the Virginia Sexual and Domestic Violence Action Alliance. We've referred to as the Action Alliance. Like I said, this is in its 4th year, and the funds are used to support local SA and DV programs in their initiatives to improve serving historically underserved populations. The first 2 years, there was a cohort of about 20 programs, and then we've started a second cohort this past year with 22 programs that are going through the 2-year project. Each cohort goes for 2 years. So this project is funded by federal funds with the VSTOP funds, and the decision today is to fund this project for another year at $343,711, and that would go to the Action Alliance.
All right, so the chair will entertain a motion to award a calendar year 2021 VSTOP grant to the Virginia Sexual and Domestic Violence Action Alliance in the amount of $257,783 in federal funds and $85,928 in program provided match for a total award of $343,711.
And Mr. Chief Williams, one other thing I wanted to mention, I forgot to mention in my talking points, is that we decided this year that we would be a participant in the second cohort along with Social Services and the Action Alliance. So rather than just funding the project, we are actually going through it as a cohort participant to improve our processes as well.
Okay, great.
Chief Williams, this is Carolyn Dahl. I will make the motion to approve this.
And this Angie and I will be very happy, enthusiastically, to second it.
Great. Thank you all. Any more discussion on this? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any recusals I should have asked for? Okay. The motion passes. Congratulations to the Action Alliance. All right. Ms. Lois Kinch, the DCJS Training Standards Coordinator, will now give an update on the Notice of Intended Regulatory Action Comprehensive Review of the Compulsory Minimum Training Standards for Corrections Officers.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to present to you today. Hope everyone is well. So DCJS is presenting this update today with the intent to request permission to open a Notice of Intended Regulatory Action for the revisions of the Compulsory Minimum Training Standards for the officers of the Department of Corrections found in 6 VAC 2100. On December 11, 2014, the board approved advancing a regulatory action for 6 VAC 2100 to amend and revise the compulsory minimum training standards for officers with DOC. Before changes were complete and or formally published, That action was withdrawn to separate the regulatory responsibilities of the officers from the academies. At the request of the Department of Corrections, DCJS began working closely with their curriculum review committee and subject matter experts for some time to review and revise their training standards in an effort to remove unnecessary redundancy so training can be delivered more efficiently. A new board approval for an updated regulatory action appears to have never been formally obtained, and DCJS is seeking the approval from the board today to move forward and open a new notice of intended regulatory action. This concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Kinch. I will now entertain a motion to approve the NOIRA for the comprehensive review of the compulsory minimum training standards for correction officers.
I'll make the motion, Dave Johnson.
Eddie Macon, second.
Right. Any more discussion on this? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any recusals, any opposed? All right, motion passes. Ms. Kinch now is going to give an update on the same thing relative to law enforcement officers.
Thank you. Again, DCJS is presenting this update today with the intent to request permission to open a NORA, Notice of Intended Regulatory Action, for the revisions of the compulsory minimum training standards for law enforcement officers found in 6VAC 2020. As you would probably recall, during the 2017 General Assembly session, House Bill 1500 was approved, which mandated that the compulsory minimum training standards for law enforcement officers be reviewed and updated as needed. The Department of Criminal Justice Services has been working closely with the Law Enforcement Curriculum Review Committee to revise the training standards for some time now, and has been substantially completed 9 of 10 categories. This work included working with subject matter experts from all around Virginia to review and revise the training standards, being very mindful of the requirements set forth in House Bill 1500. The revisions include enhanced training in community policing, verbal de-escalation, implicit bias, duty to intervene, conflict resolution skills with a concentration on individuals with mental illness, historical events that have influenced citizen and police relationships, and many, many more. This concludes my presentation for this subject matter.
Thank you, Ms. Kinch. The chair will now entertain a motion to approve the NOIRA for the comprehensive review of the compulsory minimum training standards for law enforcement officers.
Motion approved, Chief Wright.
Eddie Macon, second.
All right, the motion has been properly moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any recusals? All right, the motion passes as well. Any board members have any old business that they'd wish to discuss today? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to new business. When I was elevated from the vice chair to the chair, we've left the vice chair vacant, so we need to designate a vice chair. Are there any nominations for the position of vice chair?
Chief Wright, I nominate Chief Craig Branch.
Do we have any other nominations? Hearing none, we'll close the nominations. Do we have a second for Chief Branch to be the vice chair?
Very subtle. I will second that.
Thank you, Superintendent. All in favor? Aye.
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 Chief Branch, I recuse.
Oh, it's too late. You got enough votes. Your recusal will be noted. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Senate Bill 5030 will be bringing some significant changes to the criminal justice system. I think we've heard about this already, and the CGSB. Three areas of particular note are law enforcement and jail officer standards of conduct and decertification, uniform curriculum and lesson plans, and the prohibition on acquisition and use of certain military equipment. Ensuring that law enforcement officers live up to the high standards is utmost importance to us all. As part of that, DCJS will be convening a work group to develop statewide standards of conduct for law enforcement and jail officers. The work group will be made up of various members of the community, including crime victims, people directly impacted by the criminal justice system, people representative of communities disproportionately represented among persons incarcerated in Virginia jails and prisons, civil rights advocates, mental health advocates, defense counsel, and people employed in the criminal justice system, to include police officials, sheriffs, attorneys for the Commonwealth, the judiciary, and correctional and rehabilitative agencies. So we're going to have our work cut out for us, and that's one of the reasons we're not going to wait till May to meet. We've added a March meeting. So just to kind of let you all know, this is how we're moving forward. I think the new laws, many of the new laws come into effect March 1st. So we need to hit the ground running as we move forward. Are there any question or any discussion about this? I think there's going to be three new CGSB members. I think we're going from 29 to 32, because an even number is always a good thing. So any questions or any discussion on that? All right, great. The proposed meeting dates for 2021 are going to be March 25, May 20, August 12, October 14th, and December 9th. Could I get a motion to approve these dates for 2021?
I'll be glad to put forth the motion.
You have a second?
Second, Chief Wright.
All right. Any more discussion on these dates? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed to these dates? All right. So just, they will be sent out, but if I went through them too quickly, March 25th will be the next meeting, May 20th, August 12th, October 14th, and December 9th. I'm now going to turn the meeting over to Director Dion, if there are any public comments. If so, if you would state your full name, whether or not you're representing an organization, and try and limit your comments to 3 to 4 minutes. Director Dion?
Thank you, Chief Williams. Are there any members of the public who would like to address the board at this time? It does not appear that we have any members of the public that would wish to say anything.
All right, great. So the next meeting, as I said, will be March 25th, 2020 at 11 a.m. It will be conducted virtually as well. I'm hopeful we're going to get back and see everybody in person, but March is going to be too soon. Is there any further business? All right. Hearing none, we will adjourn the meeting at 11:35. I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas, and I hope we get our vaccines sooner rather than later.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Stay safe. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Laureen.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Great job, Laureen. You make it look so easy. That was very seamless.
Thank you.
All right, and I will send you some of my notes from my report, so you can include them.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye, everyone. Bye, Sheriff Roper.
Nice to see you, Shannon. Thanks so much for everything.
Good to see you, sir. Take care.